Our concluding psalm at this time is psalm number 69. Psalm number 69, first of all. Psalm number 69. And we'll sing from verse 19. To thee is my reproach well known, my shame and my disgrace. Those that mine adversaries be are all before thy face. Reproach hath broke my heart, I'm full of grief. I looked for one to pity me, but none I found. Comforters found I none. They also bitter gall did give unto me for my meat. They gave me vinegar to drink when as my thirst was great. Before them let their table prove a snare, and do thou make their welfare and prosperity a trap themselves to take. It's wonderful psalms, friends, that are so clearly showing us and speaking about the Lord, how we should sing them with thankfulness that the Lord has given us such to sing and to remember. Psalm 69 from 19 to 22, to thee is my reproach well known. Now to what is generally known as the fencing of the table. And now the fencing of the table is to seek to remind us who should be and who should not be at the table. Now, of course, we know that only God knows the heart of those who are at the table and those who are not coming to the table. And so, whether it be a kirk session or anyone else, or a minister or anyone else, we cannot read a person's heart. But nevertheless, it is, I think, incumbent upon us to make sure, as we are enabled for ourselves personally and for all, to know that we are indeed amongst those who should be there. And as is often the case, we read in Galatians chapter 5, at verse 16, these words that are reminded to us, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Amen. Now we often read in the Scripture of occasions when the Lord Jesus invited many who were morally and socially unacceptable, asked them to dine with him. He didn't turn any away who were willing to come to hear his preaching and teaching. And he was often found, was he not, with those who had no time for him. But it seems that some came to faith eventually. They repented through being with him and being around him. But sadly, of course, that wasn't true of all. The table, friends, that is set now before us here today, which the Lord Jesus himself has in a sense set for us. The gospel table is one thing. The gospel table is for all. But this table is a different table. The table of the Lord is for the Lord's people. And there are specific requirements that not only a Kirk session or a church should expect, but you of yourself should expect as well. Now, we sometimes read of those who came in the history of the church. There are many people who come to the Lord's table and who, through coming there, maybe they came without being Christians, they repented and came to faith. That means used by God. Likewise, we know of some people, and we have it in the history of Scotland, one of the greatest men, Thomas Chalmers. He himself, he was preaching for years without being a believer, through his own preaching, that God blessed that means to him. But yet, we have to make sure that we are not seeking to use the table of the Lord as a conversion means. The Lord can do it. But nevertheless, it is a table set out for the Lord's people, those who are already the Lord. And those who are today, if you are partaking at the Lord's table this morning here, it signifies that you believe that you've already been saved. And I've said that already two or three times in the last few days. It is, as has been said, as it is, communion with Christ. This feast is for those who are already in union with Christ. And you can only have communion with Christ if you're already in union with Christ. That's what's necessary. And if you're not in union with Christ, the table is not for you or I. But my friend, if you are, you should not absent yourself from the table of the Lord. If you are right in your walk with God, of course. If you're reconciled to him. But not only should you be reconciled to Christ, but you should also be reconciled with those who are at the table with you. And that is vital, friends, brothers and sisters in the Lord. They are those whom Christ has died for. You may have an issue with some of them. You should deal with that before you ever come to the Lord's table. He has forgiven them as he has forgiven you. So, friends, partake at the table today. Do so Yes, with a broken heart for your sin, but with your heart also full of love for the Savior, the one who is your Savior. Loving your fellow participants, sharing the cup with them, and that's the beauty of having, as we usually have, sharing it all with them, the bread with them and the wine with them, in communion with them. That's true communion. So the table today, friend, does draw a line between those who are the Lord's and those who say they are not. So friends, let us then partake in faith and obedience, and that our love would be heightened for this new opportunity afforded to us.